Querido.
Hare Krishna. Any questions? Not so far. Okay. Hare Krishna. Any questions, yeah?
Is your health all right, Maharaj?
Huh?
Is your health okay?
My health is fine. Yeah. I'm tired, but my health is fine. Krishna, Krishna. Any other questions? All right, I'll stop there. Any questions? I'm supposed to, I guess, speak about Govardhan Puja. It seems that is this for today?
Yes.
I guess it has something to do with the cows. And Govardhan Puja is a festival that Krishna himself started to worship the cows, the Brahmins, and Govardhan Hill. And I'll read a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam with a short commentary. And then I'm going to read a little bit from Krishna book, which is Srila Prabhupada's summary study of the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Can you hear me okay? Okay. I couldn't hear me, so I thought maybe you couldn't hear me either. And it further elaborates on the verse that we'll be speaking from Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the beginning of Govardhan Puja, and the events that led to Krishna's inaugurating this ceremony himself personally, his reasons for it, and even when asked how to go about doing it, Krishna himself gave a description of how it should be performed. And it was understood that right from that point, during Krishna's advent 5,000 years ago, he was the inaugurator of this festival, and it was meant to continue to be performed. And sometimes I even quote Krishna in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, who says that anybody who doesn't, I think he says anyone who lives in the forest, so we might be clear, but he specifically states anyone who lives in the forest and who is dependent upon cows and Govardhan, who does not observe this Govardhan festival, he says, then there are many snakes also in the forest which will bite him and kill him for his failure to perform that worship. Sometimes I quote that to remind devotees of the significance of Govardhan Puja. And of course, that was Krishna made that statement to emphasize the importance of the event, and it was so important to him that the devotees, as we know, had to undergo great distress on his account, on his behalf, by Indra, who called upon the Samvartaka clouds to inundate the residents of Vrindavan to punish them for their failure to perform the Indra Puja, which until that particular time was a regular event. But Krishna wished to perform a paradigm shift, because during his manifest presence, Krishna wanted to put the emphasis on devotion and exclusive worship of devotional service upon him without dependence on anyone else. And that is another purpose for his establishing the Govardhan Puja. Anyways, we'll get to these. We'll read them. And we may choose to elaborate a little bit on some of the points that Srila Prabhupada raises in his narration of the pastime of Krishna's inaugurating the Govardhan Puja, which subsequently led to his lifting of the Govardhan Hill. So this is the 24th chapter of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, verse number 12. Shri Shuku Uvacha Vacho Nishamya Nandasya Tatanyesham Rajaukasam Indraya Manyum Janayam Pitaram Praha Keshava. Translation: Sukadeva Goswami said, when Lord Keshava, Krishna, heard the statements of his father, Nanda, and other senior residents of Raj, he addressed his father as follows to arouse anger in Lord Indra. Purport: Srila Sridhar Swami explains that Lord Krishna's intention was not simply to insult a demigod, but rather to knock down the great mountain of false pride that had arisen within the Lord's tiny servant, who was supposed to represent the Lord as Indra. By lifting Govardhan Hill, Lord Krishna would thus initiate a blissful annual festival called Govardhan Puja, and he would further enjoy the pleasant pastime of dwelling for several days beneath the hill with all his loving devotees. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also gives a very short commentary from which this purport we just read was taken from, where he says the aim of inciting Indra's anger was to break his pride, to start the annual festival of Govardhan worship, and to live together with his dear devotees for 7 days. These are successive reasons for Krishna's words. Om Jnana Timirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshur Unminitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Ukam Kuroti Vachalam Pangam Nangayate Garim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gunandina Taranam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namane Namaste Sarasate Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nirvishesha Shanyavari Pastyacha Desa Tarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We'll begin by saying that I'm going to take advantage of something which I don't often, very often have the luxury of doing. I'm in the right now, currently in a place where everybody understands English, and it's a luxury for me. Generally, I spend the majority of my time, 9-10 months a year, in a place where I can't really read, because if I read from something, nobody understands me anyways. And then the other person has to translate what I read. So what? It's not, really doesn't have the same impact or influence to read something. I may read a short purport, but here I can read and everyone will understand. And it doesn't have to be repeated twice. So that's a luxury for me. I just ask you to bear with me as I ever read something, because also reading something requires concentration. And but as I said, I wanted to read a small part from Srila Prabhupada's commentary in the of the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where he describes what happened, the events leading up both to this statement by Krishna and the events that took place after Krishna made this statement. As we know, or at least we should know, that the residents of Vrindavan, who are all Krishna's intimate devotees, who are all absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, whose only desire is to please Krishna, and who have various relationships with Krishna in the mood of servitorship, friendly relations, parental affection, and as lovers. For them, Krishna is the cynosure, and the mood of Vrindavan is one of kevala, or unalloyed devotion. Kevala means that the eternal associates of Krishna have no other interest in their lives than to please Krishna according to their particular relationship. And in attempting to please him, they are not in any way obstructed in their desires to please him according to their particular mood by having to take into consideration his divinity, because this is one of the wonderful features of Krishna Lila. It is the feature. We oftentimes give the example that there are different stages of knowledge of the Lord. And Pratyaksha, Paroksha, Aparoksha, Adhoksaja, and the highest is called Jnana Sunya. These are different levels of knowledge of the Supreme. What are, should we say, levels of knowledge? First is Pratyaksha, is to gain experience and knowledge by the senses. But the highest level, we'll jump to the highest level. The highest level of knowledge is called Jnana Sunya. And anybody who's familiar with Sanskrit, Jnana means knowledge and Sunya is void. So, if we're to understand this is the highest level of knowledge, how is it defined as Jnana Sunya, which means devoid of knowledge? And Jnana Sunya is used for those residents of the spiritual world, whose loving affection with Krishna is not in any way obstructed by awe and reverence. There's Kevala Bhakti means devoid of awe and reverence, and Aishvaya, which Aishvaya Gyan means to be aware of Krishna's opulences. In other words, to be aware of Krishna's opulences means to be conscious that Krishna is God. And we oftentimes speak of the pastimes of the Lord in terms of their sweetness. And what makes Krishna's pastimes with his eternal associates who are absorbed in this mood of Kevala Bhakti sweet? The sweetness is the subordination that Krishna displays to the love of those who have unalloyed love for him, born of spontaneous loving affection. In fact, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is one verse, Nayam Sukapo Bhagavan Dehi Nam Gopika Sutta, where it's described that Krishna is not accessible to those who have accustomed to performing austerities, or those who identify with the self, with the material body, or those who are accustomed to mental speculation. Krishna is accessible to those who are engaged in spontaneous loving devotional service to him. Spontaneous means that their spontaneous love for him in this particular mood of parental affection or friendship is not in any way hindered by the concept of Krishna as being God. And therefore, for the residents of Vrindavan, for them, they are covered by Krishna's yogamaya potency. And that yogamaya potency covers that divinity of Krishna so that they do not have to in any way be distracted by their spontaneous love for him. For instance, the cowherd boys, they have friendly relationships with Krishna, and sometimes in their friendly affairs, they may jump on Krishna's back. That's the nature of their relationship. They're friends. When you're friends, you're equal. And how could an equal friend in any way who's conscious of the divinity of his friend jump on his back? I would think it would be difficult to do. So therefore, and Krishna is so kind that his potencies manifest in such a way to assist him, that these potencies manifest in such a way to cover those devotees who are absorbed in this loving mood of Kevala Bhakti, to cover them so that they don't have to think of Krishna's divinity. Last night, forgive me, I lost track of time. Two nights ago, we were speaking about this with respect to Mother Jasoda. We were talking a little bit about the Damodar Leela, and which we'll also be singing Damodar Astakam tonight, but tonight, instead of talking about Damodar Leela, we're speaking about Govardhan Leela. But in Damodar Leela, we were speaking the night before last how Mother Jasoda, she actually feels responsible for the misbehavior of her son. And because of his mischievous behavior, she was very strongly inclined to punish him. Now, again, if we're to take into account that Mother Jasoda is distracted by the fact that her son is God, then how could she pursue that with confidence? I would think it would be a distraction. Her love would be crippled. In fact, that's even the word that's used. Her love would be crippled her unalloyed spontaneous love would be crippled by the thought that her son happens to be God. So in Kevala Bhakti, such a crippling effect is eradicated by the power of the Lord's internal potency, who covers the devotee from having to be worried or concerned about the fact that their son or their friend or their lover is God. In no way does that diminish his position. He is always the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's Ekale Ishvara Krishna Arasabhura Britya. There is only one Krishna who is the Supreme Controller, Arasabhura Britya. Everybody else is subordinate to him. So he's always God. But we understand that those who are greatly fortunate, those whose love is imbued with the sav of love of Godhead, Premanjana Charita Bhakti Valochanena, as Lord Brahma describes in his prayers, because of their unalloyed love, which Krishna says, Nasari Yatu Mam Yogo Nasankhya Dhamma Udava, he says, such unalloyed love brings me under the control of my devotees. And therefore that unalloyed love, when displayed by Krishna's eternal associates in Vrindavan, brings Krishna into a subordinate position to satisfy their desires to serve Krishna in a way that is most pleasing to him. In fact, he likes to be served this way. If somebody tries to do it without unalloyed love, they're not going to get away with it so easily. Therefore, there's a certain criteria. There's a certain criteria for bringing, for Krishna to subordinate himself to such love, and that it's pure. And therefore, Krishna displays that love, and he comes to this world in order to attract those who have fallen and have forgotten who Krishna actually is, in order to attract them to such displays of loving reciprocal relationships. But he has an added benefit, that not only does he come and display those when he comes to this world, but he leaves behind the narrations and descriptions of these pastimes for the benefit of those who are so inclined to develop love for Krishna. In fact, that is why we have access to these wonderful narrations. They're not stories, not mythology. Sometimes scholars may misinterpret these pastimes from the Srimad Bhagavatam to think that they're allegorical, they're meant to serve some kind of allegorical purpose. But those who have faith, those who's had their faith awakened to these narrations, generally having awakened their faith, they continue to hear such narrations, because what it does is it cleanses the heart. It cleans the heart from our identification with a temporary physical world where the same relationships are manifest, but in a perverted way. Krishna has eternal relationships born of unalloyed love, of friendship, parental affection, and love. But these are eternal relationships, and the relationships in this world are simply reflections of the eternal relationships of the spiritual world. And the more we hear about these transcendental relationships that Krishna has with his devotees, the more our heart becomes purified, becomes cleansed from identification of this world, and we begin to develop faith that these are not simply allegorical stories meant to teach us moral lessons. But they're actually neither they are mythology or but nor are these stories simply to captivate our minds in some fictitious persons, but they're actual descriptions and narrations of Krishna Lila. What it is that actually Krishna does. Although we know, and we mentioned this point the other night, that Krishna has nothing to do. Natasya karyam charananja vijate natasya maschabhichikasta jishishe parasya shaktiya vividhaya vishuyate sabhaviki jnana balakriyacha. This verse explains that Krishna has nothing to do. There's no one equal to him. There's no one that is greater than him. He has nothing to do. Why does he have nothing to do? Because everything is done very naturally and systematically through his different energies. So we should not entertain the concept that Krishna has nothing to do. Because just as we are eternal, we are always active. We can never be inactive even for a moment. If we don't do the things that we're forced to do, we're still active and we still do what we like to do. So when we say that Krishna has nothing he has to do, we should understand that because he has nothing he has to do, everything he does what he likes to do. That's what it means to be Parama Purusha. Parama Purusha means he's the supreme enjoyer. Whatever he does, it's because he enjoys it. And what does Krishna enjoy the most? Krishna enjoys the most being controlled by the love of his devotees. He likes it. Being God is something that he does in relationship to this cosmic material world. He's the proprietor. He's the controller. He's the creator. Being God is, yes, it's a position. But it's not, doesn't give him the highest pleasure. He is, and as we understand that, and as we just described by this verse, all this could be done without him having to get involved at all. Creation, maintenance, destruction, it all goes on through his diverse potencies. He doesn't have to get involved in any way. There's nothing he has to do. When he creates, it's not that he has to go out to Home Depot. He has to buy all the ingredients for creation. No, he's self-sufficient. All the ingredients of creation are within him. And when he creates, he doesn't become depleted in any way. He creates simply by transforming his energies, which are eternal. His energies are always manifest, or unmanifest, but they're always existing, either whether it's in a manifest stage or an unmanifest stage. So creation for him is just simply a transformation of his energies. And when creation takes place, then there is the influence of, as we oftentimes explain, the first thing Krishna creates is time. Because when there's time, then creation can take place. Without time, then how can there be a beginning of anything? So first he creates time, then he stimulates the three modes of material nature, and then the ingredients for this cosmic manifestation take place. But all that happens without him. Happens just through his energies. So when we say he has nothing to do, we should not think that he's bored. You know, sometimes people sit at home, raining outside. my favorite television shows on are lightning, internet's not working. Nothing to do. I'm bored. But Krishna's, not that he has nothing to do. So when the verse says he has nothing to do, it means there's nothing he has to do. And therefore he does what he enjoys the most. What he enjoys the most is experiencing these wonderful pastimes with his eternal devotees, his eternal associates. And therefore, we hear about in Govardhan Lila, we will hear about Nanda Maharaj, we will hear about Krishna's cowherd boyfriends, we'll hear about the cows, which are also Krishna's very dear devotees. When Krishna goes out to the pasturing grounds every day, he's going out with his cows, with his cowherd boyfriends. And when they're out grazing in the pastures, one by one, he calls them by name. He knows the name of every one of them. It's when it's time to return back in the evening with all his cows and calves. And he knows everyone. They're very dear to him. Krishna worships the cows. So, when we talk about Govardhan Lila, which I haven't gotten to yet, I guess, have I? I'm trying to put it in a proper setting. Because, as I said, I want to read. But we should read with the right understanding. We should read and we should hear with the right understanding that Srila Prabhupada hasn't simply given us a nice story, but he's actually very wonderfully taken the words of Srila Sukadeva Goswami, which were meant the most confidential pastimes of Krishna and Vrindavan, which were meant the highest pastimes of the Lord, and to bring Parikshit Maharaj to the elevated state of consciousness of complete resolute faith and absorption in Krishna. Because essentially that is the objective that we're supposed to accomplish on any day that we gather to hear about Krishna. The objective is to bring our minds to become yogis. Become yogis. Although hearing Krishna Katha is, it's actually bhakti yoga. And Krishna says, Yogi nam hidyeshuva. No, what is it? Yogi nam apisavesha madgita nantaratmana. Shradavam. Oh my God, my memory is getting so bad. Shradavam bhajate yomam same yukritam homataha. Yes. Krishna says, of all yogis, he who abides in me in great faith, worshipping him me in devotional service, is most intimately united with me in yoga, and he is the highest of all. So Krishna is inviting Arjuna, inviting the devotees to become yogis by dint of their absorption in Krishna, in thoughts of Krishna. And in fact, Krishna even concludes all of instructions in Bhagavad Gita with very essential verse, man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mana vaskaru. He tells Arjuna, you should always think of me. You should worship me, offer homages to me, you should come to me. This is yoga. And therefore the purpose of such festivals is to engage in bhakti yoga, which is the yoga of devotion, which begins with hearing with faith the narrations and glories of the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, as I said, I'm going to read a little bit from Krishna book. When Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd men and residents of Vrindavan, they were preparing to perform the annual Indra Puja. And Krishna saw them bringing together all their preparations for the worship of Indra. Krishna decided to inquire from his father, Nanda Maharaj, why are we doing this? Can you give a reason? I mean, obviously, if you're doing it, you should have a good reason for it. And Nanda Maharaj, of course, explained to Krishna that because we're dependent very much, we're Vaishyas, we're protecting cows, we're engaged in agriculture, we're very much dependent upon a profuse supply of rain, and because Indra is in charge of the rain, therefore every year we perform this ceremony, Indra Puja, to worship Lord Indra, so that we have sufficient rains to fulfill our requirements, so that the cows can have sufficient grass for grazing, so that our agriculture can have sufficient rain for growing, and therefore in this he gave his different reasons why Indra should be worshipped. And of course, as we explained before, that one of the purposes Krishna wanted to demonstrate in coming to this world was to teach exclusive devotion to himself. And therefore, taking advantage of this particular situation, Krishna chose to speak to his father in such a way to minimize the importance of this Indra Puja. He started preaching what's called Karma Mimamsa philosophy. And in Karma Mimamsa philosophy, it states that it doesn't make any difference, there's no need for worship of a supreme being, because actually all the actions of this world are simply the result of karma. And if you perform good activities, you'll get good karma. If you perform bad activities, you'll get bad karma. So we don't have to. Why should we be dependent on this Indra? He can't really do anything. What he does is really not relevant to the way things work. Basically, that's what the argument he was using. And therefore, he gave this different argument. And then he said, even if you do not please Indra, what can he do? We do not derive any special benefit from Indra. Even if he is there, he pours water on the ocean also, where there's no need of water. So he's pouring water on the ocean or on the land. It does not depend on our worshiping him. As far as we are concerned, we do not need to go to another city or village or foreign country. There are palatial buildings in the cities. But we are satisfied living in the forest of Vrindavan. Our specific relationship is with Govardhan Hill and Vrindavan Forest, and nothing more. I therefore request you, my dear father, to begin a sacrifice which will satisfy the local Brahmins and Govardhan Hill, and let us have nothing to do with Indra. After hearing this statement by Krishna, Nanda Maharaj replied, my dear boy, since you are asking, I shall arrange for a separate sacrifice for the local Brahmins in Govardhan Hill, but for the present, let me execute the sacrifice known as Indra Yajna. But Krishna replied, my dear father, don't delay. The sacrifice you propose for Govardhan and the local Brahmins will take much time. Better take the arrangement and paraphernalia you have already made for the Indra Yajna and immediately engage them to satisfy Govardhan Hill and the local Brahmins. Maharaj Nanda finally relented. The cowherd men then inquired from Krishna how he wanted the yajna performed. And Krishna gave them the following directions. If anybody's wondering why we have a lot of prasadam. course, some places, I don't know. I'm not going to make any comments about, I have no idea what's happening here. But in some places I've been, it's amazing what they do on Govardhan Puja. I've been in New Brajadam in Hungary on Govardhan Puja. I used to be there quite regularly. And they would fill half the temple room with preparations. The altar was too full. That was already full. But then all of the devotees would have to get in the back, and the whole front of the temple room, probably about this size, everything from the altar till about, say, maybe 40% of the front, was just filled with pots of a lot of sweets. But all kinds of preps, hundreds and hundreds of preparations. Because one of the Govardhan Pujas, one of the requests Krishna made, is to distribute prasadam. Distribute to the Brahmins, distribute to everyone, and distribute to the animals, distribute to the cows, and it's a real festival. And then you go to Govardhan, where the Anakut Kshetra is. You know, Anakut Kshetra, it begins with Danyavartana Kunda all the way down to Aniyur. And it's a good distance. And that's where the original Anakut took place, where all the preparations were stacked up, mountains of preparations were stacked up. And then, of course, as we know, not only the mountains of preparation stacked up, but Krishna even assumed a very wonderful, magnificent form on the top of Govardhan Hill to accept all the food that was being offered to him. And after accepting all the food in this most wonderful form, what did he say? Everybody, what did Krishna say? Aniyur. Aniyur, Aniyur. Give me more. Give me more, give me more. So, this Anakut Kshetra is, I mean, it's really, some places you go, it's an amazing event. The amount of prasadam prepared and distributed. But we appreciate whatever efforts will be made tonight by the devotees. And I do not in any way intend to diminish their efforts. In fact, I'm sure I'm going to be surprised. I heard a lot of preparations were made. So. Thank you. It's pleasing to Krishna. So, now Krishna's going to say what he wants. Marjananda relented. Cowherd man inquired how Krishna wanted the yajna performed. Krishna gave him the following directions. Prepare very nice foods of all descriptions from the grain and ghee collected for the yajna. Prepare rice, dal, halava, pakora, puri, and all kinds of milk preparations such as sweet rice, rubbery, sweet balls, sandesh, rasgulla, and laddu. And invite the learned Brahmins who can chant the Vedic hymns and offer oblations to the fire. The Brahmins should be given all kinds of grain in charity. Then decorate all the cows and feed them well. After performing this, give money in charity to the Brahmins. As far as the lower animals are concerned, such as the dogs, and the lower grades of people, such as the Chandalas, or the fifth class of men who are considered untouchable, they also may be given sumptuous prasadam. After nice grasses have been given to the cows, the sacrifice known as Govardhan Puja may immediately begin. This sacrifice will very much satisfy me. And Prabhupada explains a little bit later The sacrifice known as Govardhan Puja is observed in the Krishna consciousness movement. Lord Chaitanya has recommended that since Krishna is worshipable, so his land, Vrindavan and Govardhan Hill, is also worshipable. To confirm this statement, Lord Krishna said that Govardhan Puja is as good as worship of him. From that day, Govardhan Puja has been going on and is known as Anakuta. In all the temples of Vrindavan or outside of Vrindavan, huge quantities of food are prepared in this ceremony and are very sumptuously distributed to the general population. Sometimes the food is thrown to the crowds and they enjoy collecting it off the ground. From this we can understand that prasadam offered to Krishna never becomes polluted or contaminated, even if it is thrown on the ground. People therefore collect and eat it with great satisfaction. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna thus advised the cowherd men to stop the Indra Yajna and begin the Govardhan Puja in order to chastise Indra, who is very much puffed up at being the supreme controller of the heavenly planets. The honest and simple cowherd men, headed by Nanda Maharaj, accepted Krishna's proposal and executed in detail everything he advised. They performed Govardhan worship and circumambulation of the hill. Following the inauguration of Govardhan Puja, people in Vrindavan still dress nicely and assemble near Govardhan Hill to offer worship and circumambulate the hill, leading their cows all around. According to the instruction of Lord Krishna, Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd men called in learned Brahmins and began to worship Govardhan Hill by chanting Vedic hymns and offering prasadam. The inhabitants of Vrindavan assembled together, decorated their cows and gave them grass. Keeping the cows in front, they began to circumambulate Govardhan Hill. The gopis dressed themselves very luxuriantly and sat in bull-driven carts, chanting the glories of Krishna's pastimes. The Brahmins assembled there to act as priests for Govardhan Puja, offered their blessings to the cowherd men and their wives, the gopis. When everything was complete, Krishna assumed a great transcendental form and declared to the inhabitants in Vrindavan that he was himself Govardhan Hill in order to convince the devotees that Govardhan Hill and Krishna himself are identical. Then Krishna began to eat all the food offered there. The identity of Krishna and Govardhan Hill is still honored, and great devotees take rocks from Govardhan Hill and worship them exactly as they worship the deity of Krishna in the temples. The followers of the Krishna consciousness movement may therefore collect small rocks or pebbles from Govardhan Hill and worship them at home, because this worship is as good as deity worship. The form of Krishna who began to eat the offerings was separately constituted, and Krishna himself, along with the other inhabitants of Vrindavan, offered obeisances to the deity as well as Govardhan Hill. In offering obeisances to the huge form of Krishna and Govardhan Hill, Krishna declared, "Just see how Govardhan Hill has assumed this huge form and is favoring us by accepting all the offerings." Krishna also declared at that meeting, "One who neglects the worship of Govardhan Puja, as I am personally conducting it, will not be happy. There are many snakes on Govardhan Hill, and persons neglecting the prescribed duty of Govardhan Puja will be bitten by these snakes and killed. In order to assure the good fortune of the cows and themselves, all people of Vrindavan near Govardhan must worship the hill as prescribed might be. Thus performing the Govardhan Puja sacrifice, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan follow the instructions of Krishna, the son of Vasudeva, and afterwards they return to their respective homes." As I said, I was just going to read, and I tried to put this reading in the proper setting. Tomorrow, actually, is Govardhan Puja, although we're observing it today. Tomorrow I'm also going to speak, but someplace else. And I'm going to continue to speak about other elements of Govardhan Hill tomorrow. This is my talk for tonight. I said I would not speak for more than an hour. We have other events this evening, such as Dhammadharastika prayers, such as artik, such as dance. What else?
Butter churning.
I can't hear.
Butter churning.
Butter churning. Whoa. I didn't know about that one. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.